Okay, everybody, welcome. I know we're just dialing in. I know we've got Francis and Carla here. And who else is here? Anyone else on the call? I know some of you are calling in through the internet, so you can't speak.
Dabney's here.
Hey, Dabney, what's up?
Hey.
Good to have you. Dabney, where do you live?
I live in Oakland.
No kidding.
Yeah.
West Oakland, East Oakland?
I live up in the hills.
Okay.
Where it's nice.
I have some friends who have a project called the People's Grocery in West Oakland.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them.
Yeah, super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to live in Santa Cruz for a few years, and so I was up in the Bay all the time.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, welcome, everybody. I'm going to put it on lecture so we won't have any background noise, and we'll get started. All right. So first thing I'd love to start off with is I'll leave the phone number and everything up at the top just for people who are calling in later, is just a question around any wins. So let me post this and then you can comment below it. Okay, so that's the first question. So you'll see it near the top of the page there. So just any wins this week, successes, aha moments, realizations, anything you'd like to share, let's just take a couple of minutes to reconnect with the group, share what's going on in terms of any great things that are happening you'd like to share. This bragging rights time where you can share the good things going on. So we'll just take a couple of minutes for that. Alright, Sky was saying he made it through the Little Circles book. That's great. Yeah, there's a lot to it. I'm glad it was helpful. Yeah, and also, you know what? I would also love to put out, in terms of wins and successes and aha moments, any appreciations you have, if you want to toss out an appreciation for somebody else in the group who really insight or a comment or a, and that's not just have it be general appreciations of like, I love this person, that's great. But if there's anything specific that you'd really like to lift up that they helped you see, that would be great. Dabney's appreciating Autumn for her support. That's wonderful. Thank you. That's great. Good job, Autumn. Francis, good progress with Little Circle. Yeah, I think your Little Circle is wonderful. Beautiful. Mike is saying, I'm finding the idea of niching is filtering into every area of my life, narrowing down, being clear, finding the center of the target, who you're really talking about, also the model of problem, feeling, craving, a result, et cetera. It's great. Yeah, I tend to filter a lot of things through that, which helps me understand things better. And yeah, cool. All right, Kentron is not giving up. That's good. I keep calling you Kentron. I know your name is Kenton, but it's Kentron on Facebook. Cool, Yvonne saying, I have lots of Little Circles, really loving the exploration. Yeah, there may be just a ton. And man, just the Little Circles are so much more manageable than the big circles in terms of niche projects, which we're getting into this week. So it's great to have a bunch. Because, yeah, you may try one. You don't like it, and then you've got more. You've got options. Pitro is saying, after going back to the drawing board four times in 3 days, my little closer. Yeah, sometimes that's the process, is we just kind of, that's that spiraling inwards. We just get closer and closer and closer. And I think Megan had this too, where she was realizing she'd done a bunch of rewrites and then it didn't even feel like her anymore. And she kind of lost her own voice. And then she really reclaimed it and wove her voice back into it. So sometimes that happens. We rewrite, like, us anymore, then we bring ourselves back into it, and then it's both clearer and more authentic for us. So that's great. Oh, Josh was saying, I realized that Alex Baisley has my niche already, which is good, I think. It's amazing. It's really important that there, or it's a really good sign when there are other people doing what you want to do. Because if there are other people who have a business that's sustaining them doing what you do, it probably means there's enough of a market out there. It also means you can probably learn from each other. And Josh, I would suggest that, you know, Alex may be a potential joint venture partner for you, because my guess is that what you do and what he does are of your own take on it, your own point of view, your own twist on it. You know, you see the world in a way that he doesn't. You could help particular people that he may not be able to help as well. So sometimes it's really useful to notice, okay, well, this person is doing generically the same kind of thing, but how do they do it? And what's different? We get to celebrate and appreciate the differences. And, you know, if Alex knew, oh, Josh is really great with these kind of people, he might end up referring business to you and vice versa. Yeah. Beth is saying, I've been going back to the drawing board a lot with my big circle because of what the little circle is bringing up. Yeah, that can happen too. It doesn't, it's not just, I wish it was. I wish it was easier. I wish it was just like, oh, you explore some of your wounds and your life story and you get a big circle and you get your little circles and then you have a project and it's easy. But it does tend to be this spiraling thing where people have a big circle, feels pretty good, they get a little circle, but then they go, oh, shit. Changes my big circle. They go back and big circle changes a bit, little circle refines, and then I try a niche project and realize all of that was terrible. And then I go back, you know, and or not all of it, but, you know, it was a little bit off, and that refines the big circle and refines the little circle. So it becomes this ongoing process. Yeah. Jacqueline saying, the entire class experience has given me some amazing confidence negotiating with a new corporate client for my own artwork in a very different arena of my work. That's great. Yay. I'm just curious if it's just because you're really getting clear of who's a fit, or yeah, I'm curious why that has you more confident, but I'm happy it does. Ma is saying, I feel I'm starting to see how all of the pieces fit. Where to go after this course. Hopefully this class around the niche project is going to help a little bit in terms of figuring out where, how these things all fit together. This week and next week, I think you'll really start to see the benefits of clarity around the little circles and the big circles. You'll start to see where all this work really begins to pay off. So, yeah. All right, I'm just going to refresh. So this is interesting because, Helena, you were saying something about the anti-problematizing. So I'm aware of the desire not to problematize. And the thing I would lift up is storytelling is a really powerful way to do this. But in Loving What Is, in Byron Katie's book, she shares her story really honestly about what was going on for her and the symptoms she was experiencing and all of that. And that's something that people with those kinds of situations can relate to. She doesn't necessarily frame it as a problem, but she shares that as an experience that people could relate to. So I just want to lift that up because I think sometimes people say, well, I don't want to talk about it as a problem. And what they also strip away then is any empathy, because they don't want to relate to it as a problem. They don't want to frame it as a problem. And I've even seen that come up. And I'm not even necessarily saying you do this, Helena, but this can happen a lot, where they strip away any empathy. And even in conversations with people, you can tell the way they're listening, they're like, they're not getting how much it really hurts that person. So, even though we may not want to see it actually as a problem, ultimately, we could see it as an opportunity. I think we can still share experiences and empathize with people. Let's see. That's funny. Everybody seems to be sick today. I'll be gentle today. I'll be gentle. Okay, everybody. Oh, this is great. And Jacqueline was saying, in terms of her feeling really strong negotiating with her art with this corporation, she said, I really zoned in on whether this client was a perfect fit for me or out of my values and ethics of my work. Not so hungry for the work that I will compromise both our lives. Beautiful. Awesome. Okay. Great, everybody. Thanks for sharing. Good to reconnect with you. So, of course, the next question is this one. One second. So, where are you feeling stuck? Where are you needing help? So that's the new comment, so you can comment below that. Yeah, so where are people stuck? Where are people struggling? Where is this feeling hard? Where could you use some additional love, encouragement, support, insights? Let's take a couple minutes. Okay, let's dig in. So Skyler is asking, he says, if you can answer positively to all 11 niching criteria in your Little Circles book, is it then as small as the circle needs to go? I would say probably. It's funny. I mean, the truth is, the big circle, little circle, you can drill down. It sounds like you have one big circle and then little circles. But, even within the little circles, you could drill further down and maybe with benefit. So just because it's meets all the criteria, that doesn't mean you couldn't go smaller if you wanted to, and if that made sense. conscious entrepreneurs is the big circle, then holistic practitioners is a smaller circle. But within holistic practitioners, I could have three smaller circles of body work, energy work, and diet related stuff, you know. And then within diet stuff, there could be smaller circles of sort of vegan, vegetarian, raw food folks, cooked food, macrobiotic stuff, and primal diet or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So you could keep drilling down. And each of those, the more specific it is, the clearer and the easier the hubs are going to be, which is the big win. So there's no sort of right answers to the right level, but you may find it's like, okay, I'm not getting a response. This is hard. I might need to drill a little, make it a little more specific. Or you might have gone so specific that you need to chunk up a bit and go to a bit of a bigger circle. You know, like I might say, my target market is people in Edmonton who are huge Doctor Who fans, who have all the Doctor Who action figures and most of the books, and, you know, authentic replica 10th Doctor David Tennant costume. But then my target market would just be me in Edmonton. So I would need to go bigger. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that. Okay, so Jacqueline was asking, she said, still to finish the reading, but what was Island C versus Island B and Island A? It's a good question. It's good to get clear. And this is, there's overlap. I wish these things were so cut and dry, but Island A basically is their symptoms. It's what they're struggling with, what they're living with. The symptoms as they experience it, the things that they would name, you know. This I have a headache versus I'm dehydrated. I have back pain versus my hips are out of alignment. It's the things they notice. Island B is what they're craving. It's the things at 3 a.m. they can't get to sleep at night because they're just thinking about, man, I really wish I had this. I wish I could find my soulmate. I wish I had more money. I wish I was healthy. I wish, you know, I could have a guest role on Doctor Who at some point. These are things we're craving. Island C are the things that are possible for them that they may not even know about. So they're not craving it. So Island A is, you know, oh, my lawn looks terrible and I'm embarrassed. My neighbors, you know, I see them always looking at it and et cetera. Island B is, I wish my lawn was more beautiful. I wish I had a beautiful lawn. Island C would be like the permaculture approach of like, screw your lawn, food forest. You know, we're going to totally tear up the grass and we're going to plant indigenous plants and species that produce food for you without you ever having to water or take care of it or weed it or whatever, you know. Nobody's craving a food forest unless they already know about it. So Island C, sometimes what we're offering is a new possibility that people haven't considered yet. So that's Island C. Island A is I'm hungry. Island B is whatever's on the menu. And then Island C is like a secret menu they don't even know about yet. Yeah. Nicole just saying she feels exhausted by all the emotional process work involved in this exploration. And, yeah, need self-care. And, yeah, the balance of how do you take care of yourself but get the most out of this course as possible, and the balance is difficult. Yeah, I hear you. There's a real importance of this balance of trying and not trying, you know, focusing and then letting go. Because sometimes the biggest insights come to us when we stop trying. But, you know, it's like the crazy story of the guy who discovered the benzene ring. I can't remember the six carbon atoms. And he was wrestling with it for so long. And then he went to sleep and he had a dream about six snakes in a circle, each eating the tail of the other one in a circle. And then he realized, oh, my God, the benzene ring carbon atom. And it became this just a really big moment in science. But it came in his sleep. So sometimes we try. And then we don't try. We focus, then we let go, and we explore. And you know, it's like when you're working out, if you just like did weights every single day and you never gave your muscles a chance to really recuperate, muscle growth actually would not be as big or as dramatic as if you gave yourself some rest periods. The muscle doesn't grow when you're pushing. It grows in the rest period after. So I think that's also true emotionally for a lot of stuff. Yeah. So Beth's saying, I'm feeling stuck with putting people into categories and groups. My mind doesn't work that way, and I don't like when people put me in a group. So how do I niche without seeing people in groups? The thing I'd say is that people tend to have ways they identify. People see themselves as a mother. They see themselves as, you know, a hippie. They see themselves as whatever. People do tend to have groups, even if that group is, I'm the kind of person that doesn't like to put myself in categories and groups. You know, if I were to write an ad to you, Beth, and I was like, are you tired of people putting you into categories and groups? You'd probably be like, oh, shit, yeah, that's me. I'm in that group. So I think we all have groups we associate with. The important thing is, do they associate with that group? Would they use that language to describe themselves as the kind of person they are? Because if they don't, they're not going to notice your sort of marketing piece. They're not going to respond to it. So they're going to be like, oh, I'm not that kind of person. Finding the right language can be tricky because, yeah, if you get the wrong language, people can feel offended or just ignore it. It doesn't make sense. But this is part of the empathy piece. I think this is part of us putting ourselves in their shoes instead of looking at it from our lens. Is how do they see this, you know? How do they see their lives? How do they identify? What are the terms or the labels they might use for themselves? Because everybody's got them, I would say. That's my take on it. So Yvonne is having trouble finding time to delve into this frustration. Yeah, I mean, the thing I'd say is this 6 weeks is really an exploration, giving, I think, a map and some language and a ton of examples and a lot of support in opening the door, and there's still the walking the path. And I just think that can take years sometimes for people to really find their niche. And we're trying to condense it here by getting a really solid start to it and to come up with a niche project that you can experiment with that can be a really good beginning. But, yeah, it can just take time. So if you're feeling like, oh, my God, I'm not getting it in the 6 weeks, that may not happen, and that's totally okay. And I think you're going to find you're hopefully a lot further ahead than you would have been in the process had you not done it. I wish I could say we are in control when we figure out our niche, and I've just discovered we're not. It's the best, you know, it's just like planting, you know, you can take care of the soil, and there's a certain amount that's out of your control about the timing of things, and yeah. Ah, great. Chevalisa was asking, so we're wondering if the big circle, little circle stuff is mainly for our own inner clarity and how, if, when to use this stuff outwardly. A really good question. We'll be getting to that in the next week call a bit more. But I would say the big circle is largely for you. The big circle is mostly for your own internal clarity in terms of the kind of person you want to work with. But even with the big circle, you know, when we get clear about what kinds of person do I want to work with, what could they do that would bring out my best as a client, that's the kind of stuff you might have in an agreement with your client where you really sit down and you're like, you know, or in a workshop, you say, you know, if you're interested in working with me, let me describe my ideal kind of client so you can know if you're that kind of person or not, or, you know, if you resonate. You know, Patty Lund, the dentist, will just sit down with people and is like, before we begin, I think it's important what you understand, what you have every right to expect from me, and let me explain what I expect from you as a client. So you can frame it as your expectations of your clients, which I think is wonderful and legit and very, you know, solid boundaries. You know, so the big circle tends to be mostly for us, but it also is a part of the filter. The little circle stuff is certainly for our internal clarity, but the little circle stuff is profoundly useful in our marketing. The little circle, you know, when you come up with like a write-up for your niche project, a sales letter, you're like the heart of it. That is going to give you so much information, and you can draw from the big circle. But in terms of writing, you know, sales materials that people are actually going to respond to and relate to, the clarity gained from the process of the big and little circles is huge. And with a little circle, when you're doing a project or, you know, building a business around a particular little circle, it's used everywhere. There's kind of nowhere it's not used, I would say. Yeah, Dabney saying, I think my little circle healers is probably a big circle, and I need to continue to focus. Maybe so. You know, sometimes you can start small and then widen. I've seen a number of my colleagues do this. Mark Silver with heartofbusiness.com, who, if you haven't checked out his stuff, I just love that man. He started just with Reiki practitioners, like so specific. And then it's grown to just like heart-based entrepreneurs. You know, so sometimes if you start, the benefit of starting really narrow is you really build a reputation in a certain niche, you build a following and a loyalty in you financially, and also just build your rep, and the word of mouth will spread naturally from there. You know, the same with my friends at with the Thrive Academy. It used to be Rejuvenate Your Practice. They just rebranded, but they really focused on, you know, life coaches, holistic practitioners, those types of expanding to more just like conscious entrepreneurs, you know, types of folks. So sometimes it is better, and it's just easier to start narrow than to start broad. So healers, it's funny, healers could be a little circle within a bigger circle of conscious people, one of which is healers, but within that there's smaller circles, so there are levels. So the important thing is to, I think, find a level of that little circle that meets all 11 criteria that you feel really excited about. Chelsea is wishing she could be faster. Yeah, it just takes time. I just invite everyone to be gentle with themselves, because you can't rush it. You can't go faster than you can go on this. Yeah, and if it's bringing up your stuff, that's all wonderful. That's part of the process. That will ultimately help you get clearer. So Skylar's saying, at what point do you lose the benefit of drilling down? When do you stop? I would say part of it has to do with your own inspiration. Like, if you drill down so specific it's not inspiring, or up, so, you know, it's such a big circle, it's not like totally inspiring for you anymore. So your own inspiration is one. And also inspiration in terms of how many ideas are you getting. If it's like sometimes too specific or too big, it's hard to get real for it. But the main thing I just say is, are there enough of them? If you start drilling down so specific and suddenly you're like, oh my God, there's two of these people, there's just not enough of them to sustain me, or there's no hubs for these people because there's so few of them that it's not even a tribe or community that's built up to a point where it has a hub or a gathering point, I would stop. Or you can decide to become the hub and build up that community, but just know that's a really long-term process with a ton of work that's pretty hard. Ma is saying, I'd so love a recipe for market research. We're actually going to talk a little bit about that, but today, and there's something about that in your workbook that you're going to get, which is so good. I'm not totally finished it yet, but I'll be finishing it this afternoon. I love it. Yeah, that's not something I'm an expert with. Man, if any of you know somebody who's an expert in sort of market research, send them my way, because that's not something I'm really smart at. So Petra is saying, I feel like the little circle that I'm feeling closer to now doesn't really relate to the wound story that felt really real for me. Maybe it's okay. Maybe I need to rewrite again to find the connection. A little confused. Yeah, good noticing. I would just keep sitting with it. It doesn't always have to relate to the wound. I find that's the most usual thing, and it may not be. You may find a little circle that's just fun for you to explore that doesn't directly relate to that. But I imagine there's somewhere in your life, maybe it's not that wound in particular, but I imagine there's somewhere in your life that has it feel like you can relate to those people. So it may not be the biggest, most, you know, dramatic wound you've had in your life. But you may have just been there where they were at and can relate to it. But yeah, keep sitting with it. It's good. It's interesting. Hey, when you notice the contrast of like, oh, my sort of core story was this that I came up, but the little circle is this, and it seems totally different. And there is some relationship somewhere. That's good to just keep sitting with it and notice it. Cool. All right, I'm just going to refresh, see if there's anything else. Okay, so Josh is saying, I question how I will bring something different to the table in my niche. How will I position myself as unique? I know I will be different because I'm different, but how do I express my uniqueness and my value clearly and articulately in a way that people connect with? So, Josh, I would say that gets to, and I'm going to post this. Actually, this is kind of for everybody. I want to do another course on it. There's a sort of different topic that delves deeper into all of this. What we're looking, some of you know my work in terms of the Island A, Island B, but there's also the point of view, the why, Island C, which we've talked about. And this course really kind of focuses on the Island A and Island B because that everything else seems to be built around that. So I'm going to post this at the top of the page. I'm sort of hesitant to post this because this is a whole other level of work. And I would say if you're feeling super clear about your little circle and you're like really on fire about it, your big circle feels really strong, then I would check this out. If not, you really don't need to. It's called Your Platform in a Page. So Josh, the real question is like, what are you going to be known for?
Yeah.
And there are 6 or 7 things that you can be known for, and they're in this platform in a page thing. And here are the questions you can ask. The how do you articulate what's different and find that out, I think, starts with asking a lot of these questions. Because what may differentiate you is your boat, how you do the work, it may be your point of view, your take on how you do it. It might be the bigger why, your purpose that you drives you with it. It might be the Island C thing. Might be you, who you are as the captain, your own life experience. So I think hopefully that will help you. But again, I really wouldn't dive into that if you're not clear about your niche, because it'll just confuse the hell out of you, because everything in it is based on the journey of Island A to Island B, having a really clear sort of at least clear big circle and definitely a clear little circle. But Josh, that's for you and anyone else who feels clear and ready to take that step. But man, there's so much in this course already, so don't, you know, be gentle with yourself. Francis is saying, I like taking people to Island C. I guess I have to get them on board for Island B so I can take them on a little detour. Often, yes. And, you know, sometimes you can just go to where your people are hanging out and offer them Island C and inspire them. And you can kind of skip the Island B if you know where to find them. But you still need to know what Island B is for them. You may not want to offer Island B, but I think you need to know what it is for them and what Island A is for them, because that will tell you where to find them. So, you know, you might just go to an event where all those people who are your ideal clients are hanging out and be like, boom, Island C, check it out. Here's my presentation. What else? Okay, so Skylar's saying, Ted, can you give us an example of how you created a partnership with someone who does something similar, like a similar business to you? How did that conversation go? How does it not feel competitive? I think hearing an example would help me for sure, and maybe this would be useful for other people too. I feel like there's so many examples, because I feel like nobody does anything exactly like I do it. I really have my own take on things, my own vibe. The person I'd say is closest to what I do is Mark Silver with heartofbusiness.com, in terms of just working with heart-based entrepreneurs in a fairly general sense around their marketing. But I'm more political, I would say, than Mark is. Like I'm more hippie. He's more Sufi, New Age kind of thing. So I just feel like we have a different vibe. And when he has programs coming up, I love to share them with my list because I think he's fantastic. I just think he's better at working with clients long term, like really kind of having monthly coaching sessions, walking people through stuff. I tend to be more of a gypsy, you know, kind of person. I work with people one on one, but it's like, here's homework. Talk to me in 3 months when you're done. I don't necessarily have a whole system at this point where they do. So when clients are like, I really need a coach who I'm going to like delve in deep with and work with, I'll work with some people, but I tend to send them to the Heart of Business. Alex Baisley, who I talk about a lot, he helps people figure out what their passions are, how to weave those all into kind of these income projects or niche projects. And once people figure that out, I help them with the marketing of it. But, you know, a lot of my colleagues end up doing very specific things, like the Rejuvenate folks, or now Thrive Academy. They really focus on helping people develop the info products and public speaking and doing workshops and building sort of a business around that. And they specialize in that way more than I do. Carolyn Rush, she specializes in helping people grow their business, you know, and people just like you grow their business with workshops. My colleague Nancy Jetton, who's going to be, I'm doing a workshop in Seattle. If you know anyone in Seattle, I'm doing a workshop there this weekend. And my colleague Nancy Jen bios and telling their story. She's going to be joining me for an afternoon. I'm going to give her an hour to do her thing with the group. It just feels like collaboration. This is an interesting thing, I think, with niching. When you really figure out what your niche is and sort of who you are and what you have to offer, I almost don't see anybody as competition. I really genuinely don't almost ever have Corina Gordon Barnes with youinspireme.co.uk. I invited her to come and do half an hour at my workshop, and she really does very similar stuff to me. You know, she even uses like my Island B thing, you know, very similar thing, but she has a different style, and I just know people get things from different people. And I guess I just trust there's enough out there that, you know, there's going to be enough for me too. And they promote me, and we just promote each other. So I don't know if that helps. So the conversations are just usually like, you're great. I think you're amazing. Can I promote you to my people? Or, hey, I've got this thing. I don't know if it would be of interest to your people. So it never feels competitive to me. So Anne's saying, I feel that I have to start all over again with my big circle. I don't think the problem is urgent enough for people in the big circle to pay me. So Anne, that's a really good thing to notice. And for the big circle, it might be okay. I would really worry about that more. I pay more attention to that in the little circle. Just because in the big circle the problem isn't hyper-urgent, it may be hard because it might be general enough that it's hard to find the urgency, but when you get to the little circle, you can find the urgency of that particular problem. So I wouldn't necessarily say you need to rewrite your big circle. I mean, I don't know your situation exactly, but I'd focus on that more in the little circle. And certainly if you get to the big circle where that's really clear and urgent, that's wonderful enough. But it's something good. This is something for everybody to think about. Is the problem urgent enough that people actually want to deal with it now? Because there's so many problems people have. They're like, oh, yeah, I should deal with that. Someday I'll deal with that. And they just probably never will because it's a should. It's not a must. And so in terms of just getting people in the door and connecting with people and people actually being willing to spend their time, you know, working with us or make time in their schedule or pay us, I think there does need to be some level of urgency for people. Trying to sell people on prevention is usually just a losing battle. You know, people usually just, do you? You know, most people don't. Else. All right, just going to refresh one more time. Yeah, Yvonne saying, just commenting on how we're moving from a competitive to a collaborative model, which feels very true for me. Nicole's asking me to post some of the colleagues and the services. I will be on my website at some point. I really want to pull it all together. And, yeah, so cool. Thanks, everybody. Good to get a little caught up with you all. So so here's the next thing I want to do in the call is I want to take 10 minutes right now to do a little work party where we're all going to be commenting on each other's little circles. So, again, to find them, if you just go click the Files tab, you'll see it says Niching for, right above the photos on top. There's About, Events, Photos, and Files. If you click on that, you'll see people's little circles, and hopefully at the beginning it's in all caps, it's written little circle, so you can see their little circle. So I'm going to invite us to either if you want to work on yours, you can do that, or you can comment on other people's. If you don't have one up, this is your time to put one up right now. But if you already have one up, then I would encourage you to go comment on other people's. So read them, give them your honest feedback, appreciate what's really clear, ask questions about what doesn't feel clear for you. So let's just do a work party, 10-minute blitz on everybody's stuff. So 10 minutes, and I'm just going to mute it and go. So for 10 minutes, just so it's clear, commenting on each other's little circles, reading each other's little circles, writing comments, giving feedback. And if you don't have a little circle up, this is your time to put it up. All right, about two more minutes. All right, one more minute. One more minute. You guys are being amazing with each other. Really good feedback. One more minute, and you'll be able to continue doing this, of course, after the call in the weeks to come. Great people's little circles going up. Got Yvonne, Paula, Beth, Richard. Really great. Just in terms of formatting, I'm going to invite everyone in the title to put little circle first in all capitals. Then your name, then the group. When people are scanning through trying to find it so they don't miss yours. And also, please put your number of how inspired you are by this from brackets at the end of it. Just so I can have a sense of where you're at, know who's needing help. And we can all know that too. So let's just take seconds, make any formatting changes you want to make, add how inspired you are. And then we're going to continue. Okay, so we're going to continue. So I'm going to invite you to all pause the comments and everything, even though I know it's so much fun to do, but you can continue after we finish the call. So we're moving into this conversation about niche projects. And I've written a lot about this. You'll get a lot of more of the logic and rationale behind it, but I think you get the idea. It's important to start small, but I think it's also good to lift up the difference between fast and slow marketing. So I'm a big proponent of the idea of slow marketing, building relationships like with the slow food movement, taking our time, not rushing, not using fake urgency and pretending, you know, we only have so many of something when we have more genuine, honest relationship building and conversations instead of pitches. And that being said, I'm not discounting fast marketing as a thing. You know, sometimes it's slow marketing is great, but you also need money today. And so that's more of the fast approach. And when we're looking at slow marketing, it's okay for it to be sort of broad, not as focused. When we look at fast marketing, if you're really like, I need money today, I need results right away, then at that point, you really need to focus. The more focused you are, the faster you can go, the faster the results are going to show up. So that's the first thing. This is where the little circles come in. You know, if you were to try to build your business based on the big circle, it's not like you can't do that. But that's the slow marketing approach because, you know, the truth is there are implied in that big circle a lot of little circles, and you'd get word of mouth, and over time that could probably grow to be a really sustainable thing. You don't necessarily need the little circles. But the little circles make it happen faster and a lot easier because they are so focused. There's this idea of the sales funnel, and this will be in your materials, but, you know, it's this idea if you go to an ice cream store, you can get a pink spoon, a little free sample of ice cream. You can get an ice cream cone, a bucket of ice cream, an ice cream cake. You could even join their ice cream club for a bunch of money, you know, where you try outrageous flavors of ice cream that most people never get to experience. Yoga studio, there's a free class, there's a drop-in class, there's a month pass or 10 pass, there's a weekend retreats, and then there's the teacher training. So there are levels of things. Yeah, there's things that are free, things that are more expensive, things that have no risk, things that is a bit more risk to do. And when you're trying to do a sales funnel for your big circle, that's hard, especially if there's a ton of steps. So when we're looking at the fast marketing approach, we're looking at a very focused little circle, and we're looking at very few steps in the sales funnel. We're not looking at, like, six levels. We're looking at probably three levels at the most, just very quick. So it might be, an example might be you do an intro workshop. That intro workshop, at that, if people feel like it's a fit, they can sign up for a 30-minute coaching program and or a 30-minute coaching session with you, sort of a exploration session during which they get a lot clearer about where they're at, and you offer them a coaching package that's like $1,000 or $2,000. Yeah. So very quick. It's like, it's not like they build a relationship, they follow you, you're on your blog, they go to a weekend workshop, or that might be it. You might be also offering a weekend workshop, but it's not like a long belabored process. It's usually very quick, and because it's so focused on a little circle, it's easier to come up with offers that are going to be more appealing to them, more relevant to them, you'll be more credible, and people can often sign up faster. So that's a whole conversation to have, but I lift it up because niche projects are such a great way to start experimenting quickly and get results fast. If you try to do a niche project for your big circle, it's probably not going to get a lot of response. One for your little circle will likely get a much bigger response. So when we talk about niche projects, we're talking about this starting small. We're talking about, you know, you build the birdhouse before you build the house instead of building a whole farm, just a little garden in your backyard to get to know things. And there are some real benefits to this, and there's seven benefits I just want to go over quickly. The first one is that a niche project will take less work than niching a whole business, but it can also open the doors to a whole niche business. Less work, but suddenly it might become the whole thing you do. You never know. Number two, niche projects can give you real-world experience with the niches that you're considering. It's really easy to theorize that a niche could be great, but you can't know until you've actually interacted with them directly. Really important. Real-world experience, so you can just know. Benefit number three, niche projects can allow you to explore new landscapes without having to move there. Again, instead of your whole business rebranding that as a strategy, you can just go visit and see if you like it, and then you can come back if you don't. Benefit number four, it might open ventures you'd never even considered at all. It might be a doorway into some totally new and different things. You know, I started learning Scottish Gaelic. I just literally took 5 minutes, went online, looked for some tapes. Through that Google searching for tapes, I found there was a program at St. Effects University. Through that, I went to St. Effects University 3 years later. At that, I connected with the Gaelic community, went to Gaelic College on the Isle of Skye, came back, and because of connections through that and the Cape Breton Gaelic community, I met a filmmaker, and I ended up co-starring in the second only Gaelic film in Canada, a little 15-minute movie. So going from this idea of I just want to get some tapes, little niche project, I'm going to learn Gaelic on some tapes, goes to me starring in a movie in Gaelic. I just never would have anticipated that. So just to consider that these niche projects, these aren't luxuries, pursuing these. They're doorways. They open things that you might not have even imagined possible. Number five, a niche project can help build your confidence in working with a new group of people, which is really important. You know, you can just start to experiment. Number six, they can earn you money right away. Not all of them, but depending on what you do and how you do it, niche project can actually just make you money while you're experimenting. And benefit number seven, it's just pressure-free growth. Even if you're 100% clear that this is your niche and you know where you're going, it's not like you're looking for new possibilities or for it to be a doorway to things. You know what you want to do. It can still make sense to start very small so that you can grow organically. You know, friends co-founded a group called a project called the People's Grocery in West Oakland, and their vision was to create a nonprofit grocery store. But that's a huge thing, starting a grocery store. It's like so much money involved and skills they didn't have. So instead, they got an old mail truck and renovated it so it became a little mobile grocery store, and they drove around like an ice cream truck and sold organic food in the hood. So there are a lot of benefits to this, but when you're looking at picking your niche project, there are certain criteria that I'm going to invite you to keep in mind. And there are seven pieces of criteria here. So number one, it's got to meet the criteria of a good target market. You've got to go over that like 11-point checklist and be like, yes, this is solid. You can give a solid yes to most of them and a soft yes to all of them. Or I just wouldn't move ahead with a niche project, because each of those pieces of criteria matter for their own reasons. Number two, you should feel really excited about the project. The thought of doing it should have you jazzed, not a sense of, it's a test, I guess I'll do it. If you don't feel pumped about it, if you're not thinking about it before you fall asleep, if you're not like scheming about it a lot, having dreams about it, you know, if you're not stoked about it, it's just probably not that great. Criteria number three. It's either a very small thing that's ongoing, that doesn't take much effort, or it's just it's a tiny, discreet little thing. It should be very small commitment over time, or a very small commitment in the moment. Either it doesn't last forever, or it's like you're writing a blog post once a week, that type of thing. Very small commitment that just allows you, with not much input, to experiment and get feedback. Number four, if it's something that works out, ideally it's something that could be repeated on a regular basis. This isn't a have to have, but this is something I would absolutely be thinking about as you're thinking about your niche project. Like, could I repeat this if this works? You know, you might change it and make it better, but the thing that kills so many entrepreneurs and businesses is they keep reinventing the wheel. They just keep coming up with a new workshop, a new project, new things all the time, and it's so much work because if you do a new workshop, well, that's a new sales letter. It's a new sign-up form. It's new content. It's possibly new hubs because it's a different, you know, it's like so much work. But if you have the same workshop and all you just repeat it, you've already done almost all the work. So think about that as you're thinking about your niche project. Could you repeat this? Number five, it's got to benefit you in some additional way beyond just being a chance to learn. So that could be that it's building your list and your following. Could be that it's making you money or that it's getting you clients. But I really do want you to think about it strategically. This isn't just something you're doing for the benefit of the community. That's an experiment to see if you like these people entirely. Also, really think about how this can nourish you and feed you. And again, that may be in the long term, just it's building your list. But in addition to learning, think about how else it could benefit you. Number six, it's got to benefit your niche in some way, obviously. This isn't just about, hey, I'm doing some research and doing something in some way that just they don't get anything out of it. Ideally, it should benefit them in some way as well, whether that's by inspiring them or educating them or connecting them with each other, helping them get clearer about where they're at, et cetera. And number seven, it should have a back end. And again, this is, I don't know if this is a must, but this is really worth thinking about. You know, because if you do one project and then there's no follow-up, there's nothing else for them. Like you do a little talk as your niche project. And you do the talk and people really love it, but then there's nothing for them to sign up for. There's no list to join. There's no additional thing they can get from you. So I just don't think that's going to be as useful for you as if there is something coming after. So when you're designing your niche project, it's also good to think about, okay, if they loved this and they wanted more, what could I offer them next? Yeah. So that's the why I think it's a good idea. That's why I think you should we're doing it. And it's all, this is how I think this is the criteria that I would use when I'm evaluating a niche project. So let's just do a quick brainstorm, and I'm going to post this here. So the question is this. What are all the different ideas you can think of for niche projects? What are all the niche projects ideas that you can think of? I'm going to pin this on the top. Let's just take 3 or 4 minutes and just brainstorm. What are all the different possibilities you could do as a niche project? So it could be doing a workshop, could be doing a talk, could be blogging. I've got a ton of them, but let's see if we can come up with some new ones. And then we're going to do some brainstorming on specific niches for people. Yeah? So we'll do the brainstorm, and then I'm going to invite you to look at what other people have posted, see if there's anything else. Dabney, Amber, awesome, doing great. So let's just take 3 minutes and see what we can come up with. These are great. Keep them coming. Just one more minute. All right, 30 seconds. Just get your last ones in. These are really great. Amazing. I hope you're getting how many different things there are that you could do. There's so many options of what you could do. So now we're going to move into something a little more specific. We're going to go through four of the people in the group, 4 minutes each on a brainstorm. So I picked four niches that I think represent four different tracks. So we have relationships, health, sort of spirituality, and money. So I've got one for each of them, so I thought that'd be some nice variety, and I think these are all really clear. And I'm going to invite you to comment below. And the way I think about often this idea of a niche project is it's like a gift for a certain community. It's like you're creating a really beautiful gift that you'd be so excited to give this community. Something that, you know, it's like oftentimes I think people are like don't want to sell what they're doing. They don't, you know, don't want to push it on anyone. But it's interesting, when we come up with a little circle that we really love and that we really care for these people and we really want to help them, coming up with the offers is like we're wrapping a gift on Christmas. And the more exciting it is for us, the easier it is for us to share it with them. Yeah, it's really exciting to do it. Instead of feeling like, oh, I don't want to pitch, it's like, oh, man, I can't wait to tell them. And sometimes we're so close to our own business, it's hard to come up with ideas. So I wanted to give four examples where we could brainstorm for each other of what those might be, because I think they may also inspire you with what you're doing. So we're going to, instead of just give the generic thing, like we have a lot of, you know, like webinars, special reports, articles, radio shows, goals, like workshops, et cetera, we want to take those now and translate them specifically into this niche. So, like, what could the title of the workshop be? If there was a retreat, what could they do on it? So let's come up with as many ideas that would be really exciting specifically for this niche. So, again, take whatever the generic form is of niche project and translate it into this niche. And the first one I'm going to post now is Maz. And this is I'm going to pin this. I'm going to unpin that one. And we're going to pin this one on top. And it's in the track of relationships. And this is Maz. And it's yoginis struggling to balance their commitment to their spirituality, you know, non-attachment, celibacy, with their craving for a relationship. So you can go read her little circle if you want to under the files to get more. But that's the basic idea. You've got these yoginis, these female yoga students and practitioners who are just, they're really committed to their spirituality of yoga. They're really loyal to their mat. They're really devoted to their practice and to the spirituality. But they're also totally, they want a relationship. So there's this like spirituality piece, but there's this real earthy relationship piece they're craving, and they're trying to balance that. And what she does is help them use that path of like seeking a relationship as a spiritual path. So that's the essence, at least as I understand it. So I'm going to invite everyone to just pile on here and brainstorm. What are all of the ideas that could be? And let's get as many details as possible. What could she do? What types of specific projects might she be able to do that people, that these yoginis would see and be like, oh, my God, I'm like, I want to cry. That's exactly what I've been looking for. That's exactly what I need. What could they do? So you've got about 4 minutes. Go. Really good. A couple more minutes. And go back and read over other people's things, because they may actually inspire you. What else? All right, 30 seconds. Get your last ideas in. These are so great. Get in your last one. These are so good. Okay. Wow, these are amazing, everybody. So here's what I want to lift up. We've done this for 4 minutes, and there are 63 specific ideas, specific things that she could be doing. That's a really easy brainstorm. That's a lot of ideas. It is much harder to do this for a big circle in any way that's meaningful. If we were to do a big, real, general, umbrella term circle, what you'd have is a bunch of ideas like, yeah, you could do a workshop, but you wouldn't have what the title of the workshop is. It wouldn't be a very exciting idea. It would just be a boat. It would just be the generic format of it, yeah? And yet, here we are at 66 ideas, and really easy to come up with. So this is part of the benefit of having a clear little circle, is it makes it easier for other people to have ideas for us and to help us. If I sit down with somebody and say, hey, can you come up with some ideas for my business? If the niche is clear, I could have so many so fast. If it's not clear, I just struggle, you know, like all of you would too. So, and here's the interesting thing. People are also tossing and I'm noticing other, like a website to check out. Here's a Facebook thing to check out. This is what happens. People can't, I didn't tell you to do that, and yet you can't help yourself. When the niche is clear, it's like, oh, you should talk to this person. That happens all the time. Okay, so here's number two, and again, we'll do 4 minutes. This is Genevieve's, and this is about women who have anxiety and panic attacks who want to deal with it naturally. They don't want to use pharmaceutical medications, but it's a real thing for them, and they need to deal with it. So this is under the track, I would say, of peace, where people are, like, stressed all the time. So I'm going to unpin this one, pin that one. and go crazy on Genevieve. So you've got, again, 4 minutes. Go. These are great. Keep them coming. Now, I should specify she's an herbalist, though it doesn't necessarily matter, because part of what we're getting here are ideas for really great partnerships. So you might be able to do an event in partnership with other people, have some kind of niche project where you work with other people who work with people with the same situation. So you're getting a lot of ideas for other modalities, too. And so now let's really hone in. She's an herbalist. So herbalist, anxiety stuff. What could she do? What could she do that would help these people that would fit in that boat? Because these other ideas are amazing, too. So you've got 2 more minutes. All right, about 30 seconds. Get your last ideas in. Fifty posts. You guys are amazing. Keep them coming. See if we can get a few more. We're at 57. I think we can break 60 pretty easy. Go back and look at what other people posted, see if it inspires anything. Remember, she's an herbalist. So is there something as an herbalist that she could do, a way that she could reach people with that in a creative, fun, low impact, easy kind of way? All right, and while you're doing that, I'm going to get the next one set up. So get your last ideas in while I set up the next one. 67. You're amazing. Okay, just a little bit more. I'm just going to fun. Me too. We broke the record. Okay, let's see if we can do it again. 4 minutes on the next one. The next one, I'm going to, first of all, unpin this. Okay, the next one is Money Track. So this is Kelly's, and it's yoga teachers who want financial abundance with integrity but don't want to teach 15 classes a week and travel every weekend. That's really great. So that's the track. So what are the specific projects? So again, it's a yoga teacher who's kind of burned out, and it's like, man, I want to make more money and sustain myself and engage in the right livelihood, but not at the expense of teaching this much and traveling all the time. What are ways that she could reach them? What's a niche project she could do to sort of begin to engage with them, to explore working with them? What are some ideas of projects? Got 4 minutes. Begin. Is it great? Keep them coming. Two more minutes. He said, wow, yeah, so many. That's incredible. It's 31. We can double this. It's easy. Feel free to go back, read people's, see what they put up, see what inspires. What's a fun, little, simple, easy project to be done? All right, 1 more minute. We're at 43. I know we can get her so many more ideas. 1 more minute. 58. You're doing great. All right. So 68. Good job. We're doing good. So we're at time. We're going to keep going a little bit over time, but just for those who have to run, I wanted to make sure you got the homework. So the homework is basically to pick a niche project for your little circle. Hopefully you've gotten a lot of ideas just from this call, but I'm going to send you the workbook hopefully later today or tomorrow. There's a few more things I just wanted to add to it. I might want to add some things from this call. But it'll give you a ton of ideas. It's like overwhelming, but you can genuinely just kind of skim it. You'll get a sense. But it's like a kind of one project per page. I think there's 60 ideas or so for specific types of niche projects. They're super fun to read. It's really inspiring to see what other people are doing in tiny little ways. And again, you don't have to read it all. You might just have an idea already of what you want to do, and you can go with that. But that's there as a support to inspire you. And seriously, I was inspired writing it. There's so many cool, unusual little things you can do. So that's the homework. And there's one last one we're going to do, so feel free to get any last ones on Kelly's that you want to get. We're going to do one more. By the way, there's also some bonuses you're going to be getting this month, some interviews I did, three different interviews, one with Alex Baisley from Big Dream Program, one with Rebecca Tracy, a life coach friend of mine, another with a guy named George Wong, which I think you'll also love, is extremely practical about in just a few moves within 72 days or something. So I think you'll really like that, plus a couple blog posts I think you'll like. A ton to look at if you're up for it, and you can look at it whenever, but I think you'll be inspired. And so, awesome, 75, amazing. Okay, so now we're going to do the last one, and this is Francis's. And this is in the health track. And so I'm just going to tag for this. So the little circle here is basically intuitive and holistic-minded people who've been diagnosed with a terminal illness, who feel sort of in shock and they're terrified. They're reeling from that. They feel like they just got thrown into a raging river, and they're just struggling to keep their head above water and feel like, you know, just like the doctor is telling them to do this, and they're just kind of being swept along. And Francis's whole piece is about helping them kind of come to shore, get dry, get clear, and then build the strongest raft they can, so when they go on the river, which they have to be on, that's their life, they can do it with as much clarity and power and strength with no regrets, because they know they're making decisions themselves, no matter how it turns out in the end. So beautiful. It's a gorgeous little circle. I'm so glad you're doing this work, Francis. So I'm going to post that. And again, let's look at niche projects for that. Perfect. And by the way, as you're brainstorming, I know there's a question of, like, how do you get people to respond to these? How do you actually do a workshop? How do you get people to turn out? We're going to talk about that next week, is how do we make these niche projects actually viable? But for this week, I just want you to keep refining your little circle, keep getting inspired about what that niche project might be. And next week, we'll talk about the sort of how do you get people to respond to it and all that. So, so I just wanted to put that out. So at this point, I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks, everyone, for calling in this week. I hope the call was useful. Let's keep brainstorming on Francis's. Let's see if we can beat the record of how many comments we got. It's, 76 is the highest. Just amazing. Yeah, see if we can beat 76. And thanks so much, and we'll talk to you all next week, and I'll certainly be taking a look at your stuff. And your little circles and all of that. So just keep brainstorming on that, and I'll let you know how to post it, the niche project, a little bit later. But for now, just worry about coming up with the idea.
The moderator has left the conference.